Welcome to the Green Wave podcast, showcasing articles from the Green European Journal in audio, covering progressive politics and green ideas, available for you to listen when you want and where you want.
Poland's Futures, a view from the countryside, by Przemysław Sadura. At a time when its voters are in and out of voting booths, municipal elections at the end of 2018, European and national elections in 2019, and presidential ones in 2020, taking the long view of Poland's future can help demonstrate what's at stake in these electoral contests. Large in size and politically crucial, the EU member state has changed much since the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and continues to evolve. As part of the Green European Journal's exploration of the possible futures for Europe in 2049, and drawing on research conducted in the Polish countryside, Przemysław Sadura tells the story of a country for which multiple paths are open. Sketching out these potential scenarios reveals that these socio-economic and political trends are relevant not only for Poland, but also for other parts of Europe. The report Rural Poland 2017, Diagnosis and Forecast, investigated the state of the Polish countryside over the past 30 years in order to analyse what the next three decades might look like. In 1989, it would have been considered utopian, or plainly misplaced, to imagine that, in 2019, most Polish people would live in the countryside, despite only 10% of the population working in agriculture. Today, the countryside is more than ever the happening place in Poland. Four trends drive this phenomenon: re-ruralization, de-agrarization, de-urbanization, and internal migration. The principal driver of re-ruralization is the rediscovery of the countryside as an attractive place to live. According to CBOS study from 2015, just 18% of Poles want to live in large cities, while 40% think of living in the countryside as their ideal. Contrary to the global trend of urbanization, Poles started the 21st century by going back into the countryside. Material changes, such as the ever-increasing ease of working remotely, facilitated this shift, and it is borne out in the numbers. Since 2002, the proportion of urban dwellers has declined, while that of rural residents continues to grow. Currently, 40% of Poles live in villages, and, if such a trend continues, by 2049 this figure will rise to 45% of the population. Cities deserted by the wealthy and active part of the middle class are at risk of de-urbanisation, a trend whereby they lose their urban character. People cease to use the city and what it has to offer, and begin to care less about public spaces and the quality of the environment. This matters in a country like Poland, where more energy is spent on denying climate change than fighting it. The growing health and environmental awareness of the middle class helped make the high levels of air pollution in Polish cities visible. And urban movements, trying to respond to this change in attitudes, ran successful smog awareness campaigns in several cities that forced both reluctant local and central authorities to take action to do their job. But the outflow of middle-class citizens could mean that the pressure driving more ecologically aware policies falls. The rising attractiveness of rural life and the multitude of problems in cities – smog, heat waves, traffic, noise, lack of green spaces – all these may encourage people to make individualist choices. Why should one fight for a high quality of life in the city when you can leave it behind and go live in the countryside? The countryside itself is the theatre of a third trend – de-agrarization. Despite EU money, rural areas are losing their agricultural character. Villages have less and less to do with farming land and are becoming a sort of rustic Arcadia, with peace, quiet, and nature at its core. While farming at present is still limited to the countryside, only 10% of Poland's employment is made up of agriculture. By 2049, this figure may shrink to single digits. At the same time, for a growing category of people, a small plot of land next to their house is an element of their lifestyle. Finally, the trend of internal migration means that wealthier, more highly educated people are starting to come to live in the countryside, while people with low cultural and economic capital go to the cities. Villages near dynamic cities become bedrooms, while places near attractive tourist destinations are enclaves for people searching for a summer relax or a calm life as a middle-class pensioner from the city. Such colonization results in rising class conflict. Especially if we consider that another growing group in the Polish countryside is that of the NEETs, people not in education, employment or training. People that are inactive in cultural, social and political terms, and whose views, research shows, may end up on the extreme margins of the authoritarian political spectrum. The influx of people from the countryside does not even out the fall in urban population and is insufficient to satisfy the demand for labour. After Poland entered the EU, many people chose not to settle in cities in Poland, but in British, German or Dutch ones. Against its widespread and lasting image of a mono-ethnic country that's closed to immigrants, Poland became a global leader in accepting seasonal workers in 2018. OECD data shows that Poland is the biggest importer of labour in the world, bringing in not only Ukrainians, but also people from Bangladesh, India, Vietnam and China. In 2030, its labour shortage will grow by a further 1.5 million people. Migration will have to rise. And it will. All those changes contribute to the unstable political and class relations that determine the balance of power between urban and rural in Poland. They create the structural context for populist mobilization against various others: middle-class colonists in the countryside, rural migrants in large cities, economic immigrants and refugees in both environments, fueling radical right-wing sentiment and activism. The best example in Poland is rising nationalism, which, stoked by anti-immigrant campaigns from the ruling Law and Justice Party, heightens the risk of ethnic violence. This specific strain of nationalism combines Polish nationalism, religious conservatism, anti-elitism, and attacks on those supposedly seeking to dictate to Poland about values and migrant quotas. It made Law and Justice the largest party in Poland after the 2015 elections and is very likely to help it maintain its dominance in the forthcoming 2019 elections. Poland in 2049, forecasting a not-so-distant future. Considering these trends alongside possible political trajectories allows us to generate a few scenarios about the future. These speculative scenarios are informed by the research cited above and by the respondents interviewed within that research exercise. Actors such as local politicians, activists, and businessmen from rural communities were asked what the future looks like through the eyes of people living in regional Poland. Respondents identified two key determinants for the future of the countryside: EU membership and the level of autonomy exercised by local communities relative to politics at the national level. Scenario number one: neoconservative dictatorship a la Atwood. Poland is out of the EU, a semi-authoritarian political system in which the ruling party occupies a dominant position, limits the power of local communities, affecting the countryside especially. Centralization means reduced powers for local authorities. Society becomes more and more closed. Nationalism and the top-down enforcement of traditionalism rises. Women are forced to retreat to the private sphere. Immigrants, in significant part temporary agricultural workers, do not have full civil rights. The government rejects climate agreements and supports a carbon-intensive economy. Its rationale is to use as much coal as the country has because there's not much of it anyway. Domestic policies towards rural development are focused on social transfers and on the subjugation of the countryside by the political centre. Representatives of the central administration in rural Poland watch over the situation so that class or ethnic conflicts do not spiral out of control. Funds devoted to cultural development support mass popular events. Being cut out of European markets limits economic growth, poses problems for trade, and slows technological progress. In this scenario, the Polish countryside loses its political autonomy and becomes the domesticated supporter of authoritarian central government. The traditional local community Adhering to the most anachronistic values is the elementary unit of the new society. The traditional and authoritarian village community is the model, as has been the case for centuries in rural Poland, for the organisation of social life throughout the country. Poland becomes more and more of a community of authoritarian communities. Such a slow decline cannot live forever and leads to protests, conflicts, and strikes. Scenario number two, a European democratorship. Poland stays in the EU, which forces the government, at least formally, to abide by the civic rights of the country's inhabitants, implement negotiated policies aimed at fighting climate change, and respect the rule of law and the independence of civil society. The European Union allows for some deviation from the rules, as well as the mere nominal implementation of procedures, for fear of otherwise triggering a downward spiral. The government tries to limit the autonomy of rural communities by weakening and blurring the competences of local authorities and by paralysing the activity of non-governmental organisations. These actions lead to apathy and lower social and political activism, as local authorities are turned into transmission belts for central governments. The leaders of rural communities gradually lose the trust of the society around them. Class and ethnic divisions, as well as economic inequality, undermine the cohesiveness of rural communities and make fertile terrain for the mobilisation of populist sentiment. The capture of state funds stunts the development of local communities, and the central government's access to EU funds grants it control over society. The countryside is reduced to fulfilling the needs of cities for bedrooms for urbanites and for services such as nursing homes. Cultural activity is driven by the needs of the tourism industry and the cities. Governmental policies, with the silent acceptance of European institutions, turn the countryside into an open-air museum. Scenario number three, decentralized autarky. The EU either disintegrates or morphs into a two-speed union. Poland holds on to a political system that guarantees the autonomy of local communities. The expanded role of local government leads to larger disparities between different communities and conflict between the local and national level. Cooperation with eastern neighbours Ukraine and Belarus develops in the EU's absence, and the possibility for a Visegrad Union with the Czech Republic, Slovakia and Hungary. Social activity increases due to the return of Poles working and living abroad and the values and innovations that they bring. Support is given to larger family farms and businesses based on cheap migrant labour. Local production develops as export limitations create a domestic market for Polish producers. International trade diminishes in importance. Alternative trading partnerships, such as with Southeast Asia, are developed. In this scenario, the communities of rural Poland keep their independence and diversity, and the integration of the Polish economy within other structures than the common European market provides sufficient resources for it to be able to function effectively. Progressive political movements develop in line with bottom-up models of political change. Scenario number four, the return of warm water in the tap. The term warm water in the tap refers to a strategy developed by Donald Tusk, a former leader of Polish Liberal Party Civic Platform and now president of the European Council when he was Polish Prime Minister. It was based on the idea that Poles would be happy with a competent but uninspiring government. In this scenario, Poland stays in the EU and the political system supports local communities. A stable and strong legislative at the central level, as well as good cooperation between national and local authorities, guarantees governmental support for local initiatives in rural areas of Poland. EU membership means a steady flow of information, development of tourism, international cooperation, and growth in global trade. Poland is part of a multicultural world. The growing influence of the migrant population, also from different cultures, leads to greater awareness and tolerance towards them. Social activism and engagement rises. Bottom-up initiatives grow, leading to rising social cohesion in local communities and help in managing class and ethnic conflicts. More and more people are involved in cultural activities. This essay does not pretend to be a proper political forecast, and the scenarios above should not be read literally. But it's important to be able to hear and read what regional and local actors in Poland have to say about the future, what they feel is certain, what they are afraid of, and what do they not notice at all. Respondents expect to increasingly see the effects of climate change, but also that technology and politics will rise to the challenge and limit their scope. It's interesting that they do not see the climate as an especially important issue. Although they appreciate the EU and chose it as a key variable in their scenarios, in practice they are much more focused on internal Polish politics and issues related to the rural-urban divide and the relationship between national and local authorities. A scenario of decentralized autarky seems as positive for many as a vision of a thriving democracy that is part of the EU. It seems that the colonization of the Polish countryside by the urban middle class would not bring about the enlightenment of regional Poland, but the provincialization of modernizers. Democracy, a healthy environment, and wealth are seen as temporary goods, so it seems it's important to use them when possible, because whatever will be, will be. The problems identified in this essay are not just some Polish peculiarities. The gap between expert diagnoses and political therapies is getting larger all over the world. When the political imagination is limited, proven solutions from the past can seem like attractive models for the future. Populism, autarky, escapism, or restoring the status quo ante. These solutions, too, will contribute to shaping the horizon of political decisions for the foreseeable future. Escapist and individualist ways of thinking among Polish local leaders will, along with the populist rule of the current government, make the worst scenarios for 2049 more and more possible.
For the text version of this, more Green Wave episodes, and the rest of our articles and interviews, as well as thematic editions, visit our website at greeneuropeanjournal.eu. where we publish in multiple languages. Also find us on SoundCloud and keep up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter and by subscribing to our newsletter.